I had to sing today when we were practicing this morning, and the guys come in, they're practicing, and you get all these guys together, and they got all these different things going on every different way. And sometimes in life, you'll be in the midst of something, you're doing something, you got one thing, your mind is just going, you know, that little squirrel cage inside is just going. And over the past few weeks, and you know, I do apologize. The situation with my brother, Virginia Beach, the first surgery took place 8 weeks ago. Being in the hospital for 8 weeks and still not having a clear plan. I'm a guy, I like a clear plan. I like when it's time to get a job done, let's get it done. I had one of the best bosses ever had in my life. He was a naval fighter pilot. He was tough. And I enjoyed working for him because you knew exactly where you stood. Buddy, he'd lay it out for you. And so many times in life, we find ourselves somewhat spinning around, you know, and just not quite focused. Because of all the things that we have to deal with and the challenges. So this morning we were trying to practice, and I was kind of not focused on the guys, and they ignored me like they normally do, and it went well. But there is a power in singing the songs about the Master. It is a power in the open Bible that I have set in front of me today. Because today we celebrate, as Brother Matt was telling you, the triumphant entry of Jesus. Yes, things would change. It was Sunday. Oh, people were just, they were yelling, they were just clapping, they were doing everything to welcome Jesus into that same town that so quickly would turn. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you. As soon as you've entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it, but some of those stood there and said to them, "What are you doing loosening the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts, each one individual, is what you have for us, God. And we will do our best. We will do our best to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. A wonderful picture in your mind of Jesus coming in. This story that you've heard many times, and the part that I really enjoy is when they're talking about that colt. And he said, "Why are you doing this?" And tell them, "The Lord has need of it." So many times in my life, I tell the Lord what I need. And I know you do that too. I remind a little child just before bedtime prayers, he kind of stops, looks around, says, "Anybody need anything? I'm going to go say my prayers." And so many times we go to the Lord expressing to him what we need and what we desire. And it is good. I believe that I have a heavenly loving Father that is concerned about every aspect of my life, every step that I take. But I also serve a God who has needs. And the question that I'm simply going to throw out to you today, what does the Lord need of you? What does the Lord need of you? Next week, Easter Sunday, and I know in years past, sometimes I get too excited come Easter. It's good, it's great, too excited. And I get all wound up, and I'm saying I'm going to try to give my best sermon on Easter, because that's when you ought to give your best sermon, you know. And I sometimes don't think I give my best sermon on Easter. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the prodigal son. I'm going to go over that Easter story. I'm going to talk about resurrection. But I'm also going to talk about a heavenly Father that loved a son so much. And hopefully we're going to share the good things of God. Today, what does the Lord need of you? I believe that the Lord needs your will. I believe that the Lord needs your work. And I believe that the Lord needs your willingness to spread His word. Your will, your work, and your willingness to spread His word. What is your will? The whole gospel can be summed up in a simple statement. To love the Lord thy God with everything that you have. And to love your neighbor as yourself. To love the Lord thy God with everything, it is your will. And I serve a jealous God who wants to be loved by His children. All of us want to be loved. All of us want to feel like somebody cares for me. We have different opinions. Some are blue fans, some are green fans. Brother Joe, I was a green fan last night. I know. And I'm glad there were miles between us when the end of that game came around. Because we would have not gotten along last night. We have within us the will to love God. If you will take the smallest child, and for those of you who are here on the concert on Friday night, I don't know when I have been moved to smile more when that little 10-month-old was up here. All that blonde hair all curly and those arms just going, the little microphone in his hand and just going, oh my goodness, it just thrilled your heart. I don't know when I am moved as much when I know the effort that Laura makes to bring a little 7-week-old to church. Mike and Debbie, they're down at Northern Neck today and text me and said we won't be there, but we're looking forward to next Sunday. Because we're bringing the whole crew. Get ready. I believe that even the smallest child can show love and warmth. There's nothing like looking at the eyes of a child when they look at that parent. And I believe that God has made us His children. And it is our greatest wish within our will to simply love Him. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't be in church on a Sunday morning. You wouldn't be coming and listening to us do our little songs. You wouldn't be coming in and... Thank you, Gay. I like that. Gay says, I'm going to hand these out on Sunday. Is that okay? I said, yes, ma'am. I believe that every essence that you have within your heart to do the will of God should be your will. Next, got to do His work. Doing His work sometimes is the hard part. I know in the jobs that I have worked in and the challenges and all that many times with work there is stress. There is worry. This piano here, it has over 240 wires in this piano. I never knew that because I was asking. I thought, well, they had one wire for each key, and I knew there were 88 keys over there. Sometimes the way these folks play them, you think there's more, but there's only 88 keys on them. And I thought, well, each one has a wire. And then I learned, no, they don't. Some of them have one wire, some have two, some have three wires. Total, there's over 240 wires in this piano. And when it is tuned properly, it has the stress on the soundboard of over 40,000 pounds. That's a lot of stress. I have a new appreciation for those that play. But without stress, there would be no beautiful music. Without it being properly tuned, trust me, the way they bang on it, you got to tune this thing, you got to tune this thing. But when this thing is tuned, there is such beautiful music that touches my heart. Only because of those 240-some strings have the proper stress placed on them. I don't like stress. I'll here tell you, I'm honest, I don't like stress. Somebody, I like the couple, he says, honey, you shouldn't worry. She says, he says, you shouldn't worry, honey, about all these things because it doesn't do any good. She says, yes, it does. She says, you realize that over 90% of the things that I stress about don't happen. See? It works. I was talking to Brother Lou, pastor of Oakland Baptist. We're talking a little bit about stress. I said, Brother Lou, I know you're a preacher that has no stress. You never worry. He says, why is that? I said, because I know that you know that worry is a sin. And being a preacher, if you're going to sin, you're going to pick out something a lot more fun than worry, aren't you? And Brother Lou looked at me. He said, Charlie, I never thought of it that way. But you got a point. It is my will to serve God. It is the work that He allows me to do. That although it can be stressful at times, and although there'll be some challenges, it is that work that He lays upon your heart that will bring you such a feeling inside that you are right at the center of God's will when you are doing His work. Then you have to have the challenge to spread His word. I went to see Bill Butch yesterday in the hospital. He was sitting up there in the chair. I wanted to ask him how he was doing. I wanted to see, you know, because they'd taken quite a few of the attachments off, Rick, you know that, you know, the when I saw Rick, he had a jungle of tubes and everything like this. Couldn't find him, but they'd taken a lot of those items out, and he sat there, and I wanted to know how he was doing. So I said, "Bill, let me ask Charlie, stop." "Okay." He said, "Let me tell you who I got to share God's love with since I've been in here." He said, "I'm sitting here, and Maxine is sitting over in the chair. And one of the workers come in there, and he asked him, 'Where do you live?' He told him. Bill said, 'Where do you go to church?' What kind of question is that?" So he said, "Well, I don't go to church right now." He says, "Why not?" When you got a guy that's laying on that hospital bed and he's getting ready to go in for a four-way bypass, he asks you questions, you listen. He says, "Well," he says, "ever since I went into my school then and come to find out he went to a Catholic school and different things in his life had changed. And they got to share one with another about the love of God." And Bill was so excited to tell me who he got a chance to share God's word with. I didn't have to ask him how he's feeling. I didn't have to ask him how, you know, I know it's painful. And he says, "Charlie, just one thing, don't make me laugh." He says, "Because when I laugh, you know," he says, "when I laugh, it is so painful." And he says, "I know you like to joke." He says, "But let's just, please don't make me laugh." He was excited about the opportunity to do for God what God wanted from him, and that was share the word of God. I believe that God wants our will. I believe that he wants our work, and he wants our willingness to spread his word. Holy Week. Beautiful week. Oh, what an exciting time. What an exciting time to be around God's house, to be around God's people. But what a challenging time also, because there is a world out there that has such needs. Every time that you turn a television on, you listen to a news report. What do you say to folks who a co-pilot makes a decision to take down a whole plane, women and children? I don't understand that. What do you say to folks that, wow, they're going through such physical challenges within their body? They have challenges of not knowing what tomorrow may hold. The thing that we can go back to is what is written within this book that I have opened. And that is the promise of God to each one of us. First of all, that he sent his son to die upon a cross. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of that God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And simply, if I utter with my mouth and believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, I have that gift of eternal life. I believe that we find our strength in this book. I believe we find the strength in this book which carries out to every part of our life. And I believe that you have the desire for that to happen. I see more people are getting more excited about God. I see people that get excited about brothers and sisters in Christ and what's going on in their lives and how they can be a part to help share the burdens and to share the joy that he places within our lives. Just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing a hymn. Paul Harvey said one time, which I love, he says, "You know, he says, you know you're on the path to success because it's always uphill." I like that. And although we have challenges, folks, and although we have things and we work, trust me, God is going to do a work in this place. I believe it. I believe that you're not in here by just perchance, by an accident. I believe that He has appointed that you should be here under the sound of my voice, listening to the good things of God. And I believe that He has something special for each one of us. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house today, and God, we've sung praises unto your name. We've played the songs and sung songs. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Gentle shepherd, gentle shepherd. Something beautiful, something good. And God, you have blessed our hearts. Now, Heavenly Father, we have needs. And so many times we come to you with our needs, but God, also allow us to meet your needs, to try to line our will up, our work up, our willingness to share your word. God, have us be the servants you would have us to be. There's one that's hurting today, God, you just put their arms around them and you just love them. God, allow us to be the light under this world that you shine through. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this place. And God, challenge us to have the joy of the Lord just overflowing in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen.